So, I mean, we were just discussing in the break here. We were at the games, all of this. It's given the last week of the regular season, and I don't know how you felt going into Fenway Park for that last series, but they were in a precarious predicament. A couple of losses, they might have missed the playoffs entirely. That would have been incredibly disappointing. So in that filter, making it through and winning the wild card, winning the ALDS, and getting to game five of the ALCS feels wonderful. And at the same time, this series will live on a little bit because I felt it was very winnable for this team.
Well, when I go back to Fenway Park, as you talked about, Friday night, David Ortiz hit a two-run home run off Brett Cecil in a 3-3 game, and Boston won it. Now you're thinking Blue Jays might not get to the playoffs at all. It was a real struggle. In fact, they only won 12 games in September/October. But then after that, and we talked to John Gibbons about this, a three-game winning streak in baseball is nothing, and they won six in a row. I will say this. When the Boston Red Sox led the major leagues in runs, much like the Blue Jays did last year, and then lost three in a row to Cleveland, my antenna went up. And I said, if Cleveland's pitching is that good, and it is, to stop the best offense in Major League Baseball, watch out. Well, what happened? Even with two starters down, Salazar and Carrasco, and then Bauer gets hurt too, their bullpen was lights out. Andrew Miller was the MVP, and for the right reason. Cleveland pitching dominated Blue Jays hitting. And the only game that the Blue Jays had the lead, they won 5-1. Now, had the Blue Jays been averaging five runs a game, and that's what you really have to do, Andrew, especially in the American League with a DH, if you're going to win and score runs and get to the playoffs in the World Series. Had they done that, we'd be talking now about the Blue Jays waiting to face either the Cubs or the Los Angeles Dodgers. But for me, the Blue Jays didn't lose it. Cleveland won it because their pitching beat the best team in baseball offensively and then probably one of the runners-up in the Blue Jays.
I always remember, so 1993, not from a baseball perspective, but a Toronto Maple Leafs perspective, and me growing up out in the West, if the Maple Leafs had have made the Stanley Cup final and they came oh so close in Game 7, they would have faced the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, what an iconic matchup. And I still think back to that and wonder what could have been. And I'll do the same here because it sure looks like the Chicago Cubs would have been on the other side. And boy, what a couple of weeks it would have been. It'll be amazing against Cleveland, but to have the Cubs in their first World Series since 45 here in our city on Tuesday night for Game 1 would have just been, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it.
Yes, that's an interesting perspective because look at it this way. When Clayton Kershaw beat the Cubs 1-0 and the series is tied at a game apiece, what happened the next day? Cubs got shut out again, 6-0. Okay, now they're looking a little bit like the Blue Jays. Where's the offense? But then all of a sudden, young hitters, and this is where the Blue Jays didn't have those young hitters step up to go with the veterans who also tailed off, no question about that. Addison Russell hits home runs in back-to-back games, and they scored 10 runs, and then they win yesterday convincingly, and now they're going back with a 3-2 lead. That's what the Blue Jays didn't have. The Cubs are put together beautifully regarding veterans and young players alike who are talented and athletic, and they have speed. Who put together Cleveland? Mark Shapiro. And that's probably, for me, Shapiro and Ross Atkins, the best replacements you could have for Alex Anthopoulos, who did a wonderful job here, and especially going back to 2 years ago when he took him to the playoffs for the first time since 93. Look for Mark Shapiro, too. It might take a little bit of a while, and it did for Cleveland, too, but look at the team that they have to put together youth and experience. The Blue Jays this last year, when the trading deadline was finished and the Yankees were sellers for the first time since 89, they had the oldest team in baseball. That can work to your advantage, but can also work to your disadvantage, and I think it was a little bit of both in that regard.
Jerry Howarth joins us on the Andrew Walker Show. His 35th season is in the books with the Toronto Blue Jays. It is going to be a very interesting offseason. Even Shapiro said this the other day. We're going to have a very good offseason. And I get it. There's payroll discussions. There always are in this city, but it's just not as simple as give Edwin whatever he wants and try to find a way to swing a deal for the money of Joey Votto. It's just not that easy. That said, this is a team that, well, I'll ask you, as it's constructed, it does have some holes. How competitive can you be? Can you look like Cleveland did this year?
It's going to be very good game plan for Mark Shapiro. Let's start off with Jose Bautista. I just read a book about Mark and Ross when they put together the Cleveland winning year there in 2007. And they took it as part of Mark's 24 years there from 2000 and how they built it and the change of ownerships, et cetera. It was a great book, and I really enjoyed the read on it. I talked to both Mark and Ross about that. But what they did there, they had to put it together, and it took a little bit of while. And then, remember, they had a 3-1 lead in the American League Championship Series with the Red Sox, and they lost 3 in a row, and Boston went and won the World Series, sweeping Colorado in 4. That's how close Cleveland was to winning that World Series under the Shapiro regime. And now here you go again. For me, one of the things that came out in the book was that Mark Shapiro has always felt that once you hit 35, it's time to move on and begin to replace 35-plus-year-old players with younger players. Why do I say that? Because Jose Bautista is 36. I don't think a qualifying offer, if accepted, would be the $17 million that Mark wants to spend on a player like Jose. I don't see that happening. It's not worth a draft pick, in my opinion, to bring Jose back for $17 million where that can be used elsewhere. Now, Edwin, if they make a fair offer to Edwin for a couple of years, and Edwin, if you like it here in Toronto, and he's always expressed his love for the city and the team, here's 2 years at a very fair market value. I wouldn't be surprised if Edwin took it, because everything else will be double out there, from the Red Sox to the Yankees to whomever. But when you have someone who says, I like it here, and he's not materialistically oriented, and he likes the background, he likes the people here, he likes John Gibbons who's coming back, then I can see that happening. And then after that, I don't know if Michael Saunders is coming back. He's the other part of the free agent situation here. But I do look for Mark, in his own way with Ross, to acquire key people where the money is there, if they want to use it, but more building and looking for opportunities to put this person in this situation, that person in that situation. It's not going to happen magically. It might take a couple of years to get back to the last 2-year run, or maybe they'll slip into the playoffs one more time because of the nucleus that's there. But this is an old team, and it's getting older at the same time. So I think that's what they will address more than anything.
The Edwin stuff is going to be really interesting this offseason, and not that I'm disagreeing with you, but I do wonder. Everybody is different. I don't know if 2 years gets it done. I don't know if 3 years gets it done, because this is just how sports has gone over the years. We've been so conditioned. The emotions are very high after a playoff run. Edwin may very well love the city. There's not a lot of humans that are going to turn down an extra $30, $40, $50 million from a different market, you know, just because he likes it in a certain place. I wonder how it goes.
Well, I agree with that, but I don't think the Shapiro organization here will go much beyond a max of 3 years and X number of dollars. And then if Edwin gets the $30, $40 extra million dollars, hey, thank you very much for what you did here. It was terrific. Now we're moving in a different direction. I think that's what he will do, make a fair offer. And if you accept it, great. And if you don't, we have other plans for that money and how we're going to address this team.
Jerry Howarth joins us on the Andrew Walker Show. The good news is we're going to take some phone calls from listeners and fans in a little bit, looking ahead to next year. The thing that gives you the most confidence, because while this 2016 version of the Blue Jays got fortunate in terms of their health, you also in 2017, in theory, you're going to have 5 starters return. I think it's fair to expect more out of Marcus Stroman. I think you're not going to have a limited Aaron Sanchez, which is great. It is the backbone of any successful team over 162. That is the starting rotation. If you're looking for a reason to say, hey, maybe next year could be another playoff berth, that's number one on anybody's list, or at least it should be.
It is. When you look at the starting rotation up into the move to the 6-man rotation, it was the best in baseball with the Washington Nationals, the Cubs, and the Giants. Then in the 6-man rotation, they tried to slow that down for Aaron Sanchez, and Aaron ended up with over 200 innings. So you could say that worked. You could also look at it objectively and say they only won 12 games in September and October when they were rolling going into the month of August. That's the great part about baseball. You can go back and forth. You can talk about these things. There's no black and white. You can just break them down. There's a lot of gray area right there. But for me, when you talk about those 5 starters and Joe Biagini as a possible swingman who could do both, I remember the 93 team had 5 starters and the swingman was Al Leiter. They won the World Series. Now, they had an offense, of course, to go with that and some spectacular defense as well. I don't believe Mark will go into that rotation and make deals to improve the offense. If you're if you're losing 4-3 or 3-2, that's one thing. But if you take out some of those starters and you make some moves for other players, and now you're getting beat 6-5 and 7-6, what have you gained? But that pitching is so good, and it's young enough to continue being dominant with Biagini to back up someone like Liriano, whatever. That's the strength of this ball club, and I think that's where the regime will look elsewhere to augment that pitching.
Do you think there was a lesson learned in the fan base last year with that could be correlated to this year with the David Price situation? He was very well liked here. We all know he's a fantastic, at least regular season pitcher. People were very upset that David Price was let to walk to Boston, and at the end of the day, it couldn't have worked out better for the Toronto Blue Jays. Everybody wants Edwin back, but is there a cautious kind of wait and see with that too? Can you correlate the two?
You just called it. This is exactly why I believe that Mark and Ross will say to Edwin, and I think last year, had Alex Anthopoulos still been here, I think he would have said the same thing. Here's 2 years, and it's $30 million a year. We can go that route. And if you want it, be here to continue this run, get a World Series ring. Well, when you get 7 years at $30 million a year, no one's going to compete with that. And Dave Dombrowski knew that. So now let's draw a parallel here with Edwin. Mark and Ross do the same thing to Edwin. Here's 2 years. We'd love to have you come back. But if a team like the Red Sox says, here's 5 years at $200 million or $180 million, whatever, no, you let him walk. Why? Because of what happened to David Price. What did David Price do for the Boston Red Sox this year? He got them to the American League Division Series and then lost a game where he said, I was terrible. That's not money well spent when there's still 6 years to go. That's a great parallel right there, Andrew, and why I believe Edwin will be offered a nice minimum contract with the money involved, and if he takes it, great, but if he doesn't, that's okay too.
Jerry Howarth, our guest. So 35 seasons in the books. Again, congratulations from us. How do you remember? I mean, season number 34, it's very much the bat flip, I think, the trade deadline. How do you remember 35?
I remember it as a way of saying thank you, Dave Cadeau and Scott Moore, for all the attention that really I didn't particularly want or need, but to have what they did for me over 35 seasons to honor this anniversary year for me was just overwhelming. And I was very appreciative of it. And it was nothing that I fostered or whatever, but to the two of them, and I've thanked them both a number of times, that's what I remember regarding, even for myself, one team, first team, 35 years. There aren't too many Major League broadcasters in the history of our broadcasting Major League games that have done that. So I was very grateful and very happy to do it. Second of all, to see the team go a second year to the playoffs and get right back there again, where they're the final four teams in the American League here, and then a chance to go to the World Series where you're down to the final four in Major League Baseball, it was pretty sweet and special. I always take it a year at a time. My philosophy in life, Andrew, has always been enjoy the moment. You're not promised tomorrow, and that's why we're doing this call right here, and I enjoy it. We're not promised tomorrow that way. So, but it's been great for me. I've really enjoyed it, and I've had a lot of fun with Joe and communicating with the audience both on and off the mic. But it was a pleasure this year to go the way it did for me because of other people making me feel so wanted.